As I train myself to be agreeable, I lose sight of arguments. As I train myself to be agreeable, I lose sight of arguments. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant inspiration. As I train myself to be agreeable, I lose sight of arguments. Now, what does it mean to be agreeable? Does it mean to just accept everything that everybody says and make it a real nice thing that everybody says? Does it make it a wonderful thing that we make it agreeable? Now, I just took the flowers that were in the centerpiece of the table here, and every time the Lazy Susan turns around, somebody else is blocked out. I couldn't see Heinz for a long time, then I couldn't see Ellen, and so forth. And really, the flowers should not be there. No, they should not be there. The flowers are not what we're looking at. We're looking at each other. We're sharing. Now, if you set a lovely flower table and nobody's sitting there, it's pretty. But when you're sitting there, it's the people that are the flowers. Mm-hmm. It's the people that we want to share with. Now, as I train myself to be agreeable, what does it mean to train yourself to be agreeable? Are you going to agree with everybody and go along with what anybody says and what anybody wants? That doesn't sound too cool. That doesn't sound like what you want to do. What does it mean to be agreeable? Well, I think it could be interpreted as to be positive. To be agreeable is to be positive. You are agreeing with the truth. You are agreeing with right action. You're agreeing with everything beautiful and everything good. And the more you agree with it, the more it becomes a useful tool for you. But when you don't agree with it, then what happens to it? It becomes useless. It becomes something that's a burden. It becomes something that is not something you want at all. Now, there are people who go around the world, they go around in life, and they agree with everybody. Oh, that's such a lovely thing you got there. Oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, this is so great. Oh, that's so great. Well, that's a bunch of malarkey. And you want to find the good in the world. You want to find the good in each other. You want to find the beauty and the harmony and the love wherever you go. However, you don't want to be stupid about it. And you're stupid about it when you call everything good. Now, you say, well, Herb, you always tell us to call everything good. Yes, and mean it. And mean it. When you go around calling everything good and you don't mean it, then that's being very facetious. That's being very cruel and down. If I say, Ellen, that's a lovely blouse you have on, and you know from previous experiences that I've told you that the blouse doesn't look good on you, that the blouse is just not your color, it's not your style, it's not your thing, and you persist in wearing it because you own it and you want to get some value out of it. But you don't realize that every time you put that blouse on, you look like a Hausfrau. You look like a person who has a different calling than the one that you have. Now, are you a professional woman? Are you a woman who knows your business, who knows the programs that you're working on? Sure. Now, we have many of these women who are CEOs of tremendous businesses, and they can afford anything. They can afford to have a wardrobe in their work closet, and they can change their clothes a dozen times a day if they want to. But they usually wear something that is executive, something that looks professional, something that looks like a business person, and then they go out and act like a business person. Now, do they want people to come up to them and say, oh, what a lovely outfit you have on. What a good-looking business suit you have on. Oh, your shoes are really tasteful. What happens when a person comes up and says that to you? You say, what do you want? Why are you complimenting my outfit? Why are you complimenting my clothes? Or what do you want? Because, and this may surprise you, your clothes, your outfit, your shoes and everything, are not supposed to attract attention. They're supposed to be absolutely harmonious with who and what you are in the business you are. If you are a businessman or a businesswoman, you don't want people to be drawn to your clothing. You want to wear good clothing. You want to look good. But you don't want people to be drawn to it because that's not what you're in the business of. Now, if you wore some frivolous clothing, if you wore some loud and violent clothing, ties that are full of colors, like you're an American tourist in Hong Kong, you're wearing some loud Hawaiian shirt or something, and people say, well, that's an American tourist in Hong Kong. Now, do they remember what the person wore? All they remember was that it was loud and wild. Now, when you are a business executive, and you're standing before your people, or you're talking to your people, and you're wearing clothing, does everyone say, oh, look at those shoes. I bet he bought those from some very expensive place. Look at those trousers he has on. I know they must be $3,000 each, you know. And, you know, the minute people are drawn to your outer experience, they're missing the inner experience. And it's important for us to realize this and to dress ourselves to attract attention to what we're trying to do. Now, every one of us has an idea. We have something we would like to sell, and we have something we'd like to promote, something we'd like to, well, Ingeborg came in a little while ago promoting a book that she had picked up in Trieste, and it was a book about positive thinking, and we don't know surely what all it's about, but she said it was similar to the teachings of Eckhart Tolle, and similar to the teachings of the university. And that was very wonderful. But Ingeborg completely went off base by acting as though she had to get permission from the Mother Superior here, who she thought was Ellen, who was going to give her permission to talk about that book. And Ellen cannot give her permission to talk about that book because Ellen doesn't know what the book is about. And when we have an activity here in the organization, and we're talking about philosophy, we don't talk about other philosophies. We have nothing against other philosophies, but the little time we do have to share, we share our own philosophy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay now. So you are not denied from knowing about the other philosophies. You are not refrained from reading about it and studying it and being aware of it. But unless there is something significant in it that goes along with our general teaching, we want to just leave it alone because we have so little time, as it is, to spend on the things that we feel are important from our own inner self. And I know you all know what I mean. It's always hard to say something like this without sounding as though you are condemning something, you're putting something down. And I have no such thought in my mind to put anything down, because everything that we are encouraged to think about and do is good. We want to find the good in it. But we also want to be very careful that we don't find ourselves just grabbing at straws because we want to be heard. And when we grab at straws to be heard, then what we are doing is we train ourselves to be agreeable and we lose sight of the argument. Now, what is the argument? What is the discussion, in other words? The discussion is, what is your thought? What is the most important thing for you to do and the most important thing for you to have in the world? What is the ideal for you to work with? Now, have you thought what that would be? Have you thought what that would be the most important thing for you to work with? Well, right now, we had the opportunity to hear the telephone ring. And the telephone was supposed to be shut off or dismantled in some way. And we didn't do it. We didn't do it. Now, why didn't we do it? Now, whose job was it? Several people's job or one person's job? You see, when we allow ourselves to get distracted by things that are not harmonious with the direction we're going, we're wasting our time. I heard from a man a while back, and I said, oh, he sent me a review of his book because he wanted me to help him promote it. And so I said to him, Oh, that's very much like the Art and Science of Wholeness. It's very much like our books. And he said, oh. And I said, would you like to have a copy? No, don't send me a copy. He says, I don't want anybody else's books because I'm writing my own book. And until I get my own thoughts down on paper, until I get my own thoughts created down there, if I read anything else, that's going to color the way I look at things. And this is what you do to yourself. You say you want to be a master. Now, we have JJ, who is a powerful little guy, and he's in prison. And he fell in love with a girl who was a weightlifter. So what did JJ do? He immediately went out and started lifting weights. And he did it excessively, 100 push-ups a day or better. Now that's a lot. Now he is doing his best to harmonize with his lady friend, and he's doing his best to do the things that she is doing. Now, I ask you this question, and you don't know the answer, nor does anyone else. Does JJ like to lift weights? He likes to impress his new girlfriend, but whether he likes to lift weights or not, that's another thing. And you see, this is what we do in our life. We sometimes are agreeable on areas that it's not harmonious for us to be agreeable. We're misunderstood. We get into trouble. It's very important for us to really know who we are and be who we are and stand at that all the time. I remember when I was a young man, and we would sit in the living room and we'd look out the window and we'd count the cars going by, and then we'd count the different style of cars going by. And we knew every one of them by heart. There were maybe about 18 cars, maybe 12 cars. 12 cars. There weren't so many cars. And each car didn't have a dozen different models under its own name, like Ford, Explorer, Wrangler, and Expedition, and all of these other names that they give to their cars, And why not? Why didn't we have all those things back in the days of yore? We didn't have those things because there wasn't a call for it. And now there's a call for it. So if I say to you, what kind of Ford did you want to buy? And you said, well, this one, of course. Well, what's this one? Well, this is the Crown Victoria. This is the Ford I want to buy. It's the car I want to get. It's a beautiful car. Well, what are you going to do with it? Well, I thought I'd set it in front of the house and show it off to the neighbors, and show it off to her. Well, okay, but why don't you get a Cadillac for that, And he says, well, they're very expensive. You don't have to get a brand new one. Anybody who says that they have a Cadillac already sounds rather grand, regardless of whether it's a 1940 Cadillac or a 1980 or whatever. Of course, the 40 Cadillac would be very classic. But think about these things. Think about these things. What is it that makes your life into a very positive thing? I train myself to be agreeable. I lose sight of the arguments. You see, when we train ourselves to be agreeable with ourselves, we don't think about everybody else's philosophy. We don't think about everybody else's way. I teach you to follow the philosophy of the University of Healing, and to have no other philosophy beside it, and to have no other philosophy beside it, have no other philosophy beside it. And what does that mean? What is the philosophy of the University of Healing? The philosophy of the University of Healing is be yourself and have fun. Follow your own inner light and go where it leads you. You see, it has nothing to do with worshiping some man or some person or some place or something or some book. It has going within yourself to be yourself, to worship that divine center within you. And so many people, they say, oh, yeah, you want people to worship you and this and that and the other. Yeah, sure. Sure, I do. Every time you get somebody worshiping you, you have a responsibility. And I would rather have everyone worshiping themselves. But, I train myself to be agreeable, and I lose sight of arguments. There are no arguments when I am agreeable with myself and my world. How can you be agreeable with yourself and your world? Just by liking yourself and saying, hey, this is cool. I like me, and I'm a happy person. So say these things to yourself and live these things and enjoy these things, and just watch how the miracle of life keeps growing and growing and growing just for you, because you are now in charge of yourself, and you're not living for somebody else. You're living for the divine in you from the word go. I love you. I love you. I love you.